lots of news in the CFL. Glenn is back in Saskatchewan for his third tour of duty. Henry Burris retires. The Argos make some strange timing announcement with their GM. So I guess let's start with the first news was Kevin Glenn to Saskatchewan. Do you think he will be the starter on opening day?
He'll be, if not the starter on opening day, we all know Kevin Glenn's career track record. I'm sure he'll be the starter by week four or five. The optics don't look good for the Rough Riders and Chris Jones. Yes, it did appear that the marriage between Darren Durant and Saskatchewan had run its course, but you hear all the things underneath about Darren willing to take a pay cut, the Riders dismissing that, saying no, he was stubborn, he wanted a certain amount of money, we weren't going to pay him, especially for a quarterback who's been often injured. And then your response is to go out and get Kevin Glenn. Now, the one thing about Chris Jones, he is a master recruiter, so no doubt he's probably got something in his back pocket from the many, many invitational camps that he tends to run right after the CFL season finishes. But to bring Kevin Glenn in, if you're a Riders fan, I'd be a little nervous. It's not to dismiss Kevin Glenn, but the fact is no one wins with Kevin Glenn. By winning, I mean winning a championship. And after the season that Saskatchewan had, I think Chris Jones spent all the mulligans that he had stored away, and especially after letting go of Darian Durant, someone so beloved in that community. We only sit here in January, and we're 6.5 months away from the start of the season. A lot more time for Chris Jones and John Murphy to go ahead and put their plan in place, but getting Kevin Glenn just before free agency doesn't look good.
If nothing else changes before the season starts, and Kevin Glenn does end up being the starter, and I know this is a lot in a row, but if Saskatchewan struggles at the start of the season, do you see any kind of situation where Chris Jones's job might actually be in jeopardy this next season?
I don't necessarily think it'll be the first month or so. There's going to be a lot of goodwill in Regina because they're opening the new stadium, and they will once again look like the flagship franchise in terms of success and prosperity and fan base and yada, yada, yada. I'm sure many Edmontonians would wish I would just stop, fawning over the Riders. But the fact is when you take a look at the season that Chris Jones had last year, the fact that he does turn programs around, whether being a head coach, obviously, as he was with the Eskimos, or as a defensive coordinator and personnel, a guy assistant GM with the Argos and the Stampeders before that and the Alouettes before that, it will not look good for him if, let's say, Montreal, the schedule hasn't been released, but Montreal comes into Regina, as everyone will be looking forward to, and Darian Durant leads the Alouettes, who themselves have had tremendous issues, over a Rough Riders team that is struggling and is led by Kevin Glenn. Again, that's not to disparage Kevin Glenn, but you don't go from Darian Durant to Kevin Glenn. You don't go from a guy who take the Achilles injury, the knee injury, the shoulder injury out of the equation. The guy's a Grey Cup winner. Kevin Glenn is not a Grey Cup winner. He led Darian Durant, took all of the pressure on of that 101st Grey Cup in Regina, all that pressure, and he won on Regina soil. So Chris Jones and John Murphy, they do not lack confidence in their abilities to craft a team. That there's no doubt about that. But you just kind of you have to wonder if the hubris might get the best of them if Saskatchewan does start poorly inside that first month.
Mancinetti from TSN joins us. Henry Burris, there's some people wonder if he'll come back this year. I think he's. I would bet seeing him on the TSN panel much more than seeing him on the field. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. It's funny that question was posed to Henry today, and I don't know what's going on in the back rooms of TSN. Those who have fatter paychecks than I are likely, I would not put it past them. I've already sat down and talked with Henry. I believe he's already committed to doing some morning show stuff here on the CTV station, a local station here in Ottawa, which is not dissimilar to what he did last season. But I think in some capacity or another, you'll see him on the CFL and TSN panel. It's always seemed like a perfect fit. It kind of, as I was joking with Henry today, his post-playing career could not look more similar to Michael Strahan's, right? I mean, Strahan left on top, obviously, and has the kind of same bubbly, energetic disposition say nothing for that gap two smile that that Henry has. And Strahan's made a career for himself, and Henry will find it easy to transition into broadcast. That's what his degree was in at Temple. But there's something always about Henry. I mean, he's got that competitive fire that just burns deep inside. So Trevor Harris led the league as the most efficient passer last season, actually had more touchdowns, played more games, and threw fewer interceptions than Burris last season. But if it all starts to go awry, and if Marcel Desjardins doesn't want to go ahead and cough up any draft picks or any players in a trade, one wonders if he might not think about picking up the phone and calling Henry. But it just sounded to me like Hank was satisfied with going out as a Grey Cup champion and moving very, very easily into a media career.
Matthew Schenetti joins us. Matthew, it wasn't a huge surprise that Henry retired. I think I found it interesting. Some people suggested, well, maybe he wouldn't have if Ottawa would have guaranteed him the starter. How can you guarantee anyone the starter at this point at his age? Like, did you buy into that? You know, if he would have been, quote, guaranteed the starter, he would have stayed around?
Marcel Desjardins would have had a massive headache on his hands because the fact is Trevor Harris is due a contract bonus, I believe, in a few weeks. He's currently back in the States. I believe he's in Edinburgh, Ohio, with his expecting wife. They're expecting their first child. And he has a roster bonus due very soon. If the decision was made that Henry Burris was going to be the starter going into 2017, okay, whatever, he's a 42-year-old quarterback. He's already proved he can win the championship at 41. But the issue would have been one of massive monetary consequences for Marcel Desjardins, because you go into the season, Trevor Harris' salary now escalates up to, I believe it's something like $420,000 to $440,000 before bonuses. Henry, and what was a very flexible, you know, rolling contract, if he signed a new one, would have been looking for a contract at the very, very least north of $400,000. He's just coming off of a Grey Cup MVP performance. You know, we'll be bringing rings to every Ottawa Red Black. So all of a sudden, there's a whole chunk of your salary cap that goes to Trevor Harris and Henry Burris. So you're basically paying for two starters who can only play one position. And, you know, it was great for Rick Campbell to say last year that, you know, he was so fortunate to choose between two starters, essentially. But that was only going to survive for one season. You would have had, I think, in just talking to people across the league, not that I've heard anything from Trevor Harris's camp, but if he Burris did come back and was a starter, I think he would have immediately had Trevor Harris in his camp, who did not leave Toronto on good terms, asking for a trade or asking for something, some kind of compensation or some way out of the situation if there was that conflict. But all is well. Everybody was smiling, and I have a feeling that Ottawa will do one more thing in Henry's favor, and I believe they'll retire that number one. How could they not after the performance last season, going into a year when they'll host the Grey Cup? But if you ask me as a betting man at the end of January, I don't think we'll see Henry Burris playing ever again.
Now, to move past that, and even to move past Tyler Harris, what is the situation looking at backup quarterback? Because they have two guys who seem quite capable, a Brock Jensen, who has won a couple national championships in the States, and then also Danny O'Brien. So two very capable players. What is their backup situation going to be this year?
I think Brock Jensen, when he came in, Danny O'Brien has been great in being in the very few times that we've seen him. But Brock Jensen came in, and particularly in that game in Saskatchewan when Trevor Harris went down with an MCL sprain, he came in and played very well. I think, though, given what if Brock Sutherland does end up staying on, given everything happening in Toronto right now and is the assistant GM, he's done a great job in scouring and scouting little pockets of the United States to find someone like Brock Jensen, who wasn't getting a shot at the NFL after all the things he did for North Dakota State. So I would be floored if they don't bring another body in. Danny O'Brien has been there really since the beginning in Ottawa, like Henry Burris. But he's never been a guy that they've been comfortable to rely on. And Brock Jensen, although he looks like he could be the makings of a CFL quarterback, You always want competition at that position, as particularly at the backup role, because we all know, especially what we saw from the Red Blacks, that this is nothing if not a two quarterback league. You need to have depth at that position. So I foresee Brock Jensen being the prohibitive favorite to be that number two. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ottawa brings in a few bodies just to test some arms out.
Matt Cianini from TSN joins us talking CFL. The Argos, any explanation why they would fire their GM now and not a month or 2 months earlier?
Your guess is as good as mine. I'm absolutely floored with this. And I don't mind saying it. The parent company of the Argos, you know, if we're all being transparent here, signs are all of our paychecks. But I really think that the internal discussion has to be, what is Michael Copeland doing with this franchise? I don't understand how you could have a performance review in January after offensive linemen have been signed. Money's been committed to Anthony Coombs as a Canadian running back. You speak to, and I was speaking to earlier this morning, a potential candidate for that position, for the Argos GM position. And he just said to me, why would anybody go into that situation knowing that money has been committed to some players they may or may not be comfortable with, whether it was the money that was given or the player still being on the roster? Why would you do that? There's also very, very little, you know, it's just the beginning of chatter that maybe the Argos would be looking for someone with tremendous NFL experience, which makes no sense to me. This is, you know, we saw the Joe Mack catastrophe in Winnipeg, all about Joe Mack had had history with the Bombers and with the Redskins as well. But it floors me, this organization, after all of the goodwill they tried to muster and what the league tried to do and what the country tried to do to get behind this new look Argos, how they keep tripping over themselves with just poor decision after poor decision after poor decision. And, you know, I tried to reach out to Scott Milanovic today, got no response. If I were Milanovic, and, you know, I spend many days from the months of July through October, November with the Argos head coach, I would seriously be considering my options today, because it doesn't look like he's either got the confidence or the support of the people in the front office.
When you mentioned earlier Harris and how he wasn't happy with how things ended in Toronto, probably the number one reason Jim Barker lost his job was really his quarterbacking decisions over the last few seasons. You know, Kolaris is gone, Harris is gone. You know, he brings in Drew Willie for a first-round pick. That was a debacle. You know, and had Ricky Ray and won a championship with him, and then, you know, some would argue maybe kept him around too long as a guy who got injury prone suddenly in his career. So those decisions for sure. Now that organization off the field doesn't have a lot of support. This move now, what do you think it does for him? Do they need a big name general manager? Does that even matter in Toronto? Or because most fans don't care who their GM is, they just want a winning team?
Let me put it to you this way. A few years ago, I live in Liberty Village, which is right very close to BMO Field. It's actually right across the street from BMO Field. And they actually had, unbeknownst to some of the players, advertisements going across on Toronto streetcars. And one was of Trevor Harris. And how that whole situation unfolded, you know, behind closed doors and whispers amongst those in the know, would not have looked very good on Jim Barker or Scott Milanovic or the Toronto Argonauts. And they weren't owned by Bell at the time. It was still a David Braley kind of setup. But they came into this season hoping that Ricky Ray, and God bless him, he is a Hall of Famer and a stone-cold killer in the playoffs, but he's not the most marketable presence, I should say. The Argos basically marketed a tailgating experience. That's not good enough in Toronto. That's not good enough in the CFL. The fact is what they do now, whether or not Michael Copeland and the front office staff understood it, free agency is coming quickly. They should have, as you guys mentioned, they probably, if this is ultimately what they were going to have done, probably should have let go of Jim Barker a long time ago to get somebody in to get ready for free agency. And if they're talking about bringing someone with NFL experience who has no idea, who might not have any idea of the CFL situation. You know, you think of Ryan Grigson with the Colts, and he just got let go. He has obviously a history in the CFL, but he's not coming up to be the GM of the Toronto Argonauts. what the Argos should have done is they should have put this plan in place right after the season, right after the moratorium for moves was done, to look for a face and a brand. Coming back to my original point about faces on streetcars, activating the brand, the Argos have not done that. Nobody in Toronto cares about a tailgate. They want to know who they're watching, faces on the field, players who make plays. The Argos did nothing of the sort. And with all due respect to Andre Durie and Ricky Foley, who are in their early and mid-30s, nobody's coming to watch Andre Durie and Ricky Foley. People want names and they want faces, and the Argos did not do a good enough job of selling that, and it looks like, and we're January, only weeks away from free agency, they haven't learned that lesson.
Lastly, what do you expect the Eskimos to do in free agency? Anything? Minimal? What?
I think it's minimal. I mean, listen, you take a look at the security that Ed Murphy did during the last free agency, and being able to re-up Darius Bowman and bring back Mike Riley and really solidify that core is great. And seeing Brandon Zolstra play as well as he did last season really solidifies the depth in their on their offense and the receiving side. They're not the ones, I think, that have a lot of question marks. I think it's south of Edmonton and Calgary with all the free agents that they have around. There is going to be a lot of bodies that could be plucked by other teams, and you wonder if Edmonton won't come calling and look at somebody, for example, like a Marquay McDaniel. How could you not look at someone like that? Who with as much experience, who didn't sound like he might be staying on, Charleston Hughes, for example. So there are a lot of bodies, particularly in Calgary, with as much stability and as great as that team has been over the last few years, they could be ripe for a little bit of picking from other teams across the league.
Matt, appreciate your time. Enjoy leading up the next few weeks to free agency.
Take care, guys.